Welcome to Future CEOs
what
here
a
on
nice
Cliff Central.
Song.
That was a good song to introduce, huh?
Hello.
So, Klubi, it's good to have you back in studio for Future CEOs, and you're looking fantastic again.
Always for you and our special guests on the show every single week, every Thursday from 2 to 3. It's right here on Cliff Central, 2 to 3.
How do you like my little beard
I saw Andrew and I were like, what's going on?
No, hold on. This was inspired by Nazim Martin, the MD of Business Partners last week, one of our guests.
You look so smooth and so
That's a little bit better. All right, Klubi, let's introduce our listeners who haven't heard about our show, which, I mean, really shocks me.
They should know by now.
Exactly. What the show is all about, Luby.
So Future CEOs is basically for those ambitious young executive or entrepreneurs, and we're giving them the tools to fast-track their careers. We want to motivate and inspire and empower.
So if you are one of those people, please join the conversation. You can do so by calling into the studio, 0861-555-189, 0861-555-189. You can also get hold of us via Twitter at future_CEOs or alternatively, cliffcentral.com. And you can also get hold of us via WeChat. Look for the Cliff Central page there. All right. Well, let's just quickly introduce Andrew, who is back with
How's
us
it, Gareth?
Once again.
Good to be back, my man.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Hugh.
So it's Andrew Taylor. He is the co-founder of Easy Terms. Now, you should be familiar with Easy Terms by now. They come in and they give us analysis for our Startup of the Week show, and that's what we're doing here. We're talking to a startup. Andrew, how about you do the introduction of our startup this week?
Absolutely, Gareth. Thanks, man. So this week we're privileged enough to have JJ Castromeyer from Biala. And Biala is a group that's doing some really incredible work in the CBD of Johannesburg. And a lot of Johannesburgians have become quite familiar with Braamfontein and the neighborhoods market there and the very lush lifestyle of Brahmis. But JJ and the Biala crew operate in the real deal of Johannesburg. And he's touted as an up-and-coming urbanist, which is a term that I'm not really familiar with. So
yeah, we'll explore that a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. Absolutely.
JJ, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for
what does Biala mean? Is there a meaning to that?
Sure. Biala means to plant in Northern Sotho.
Very nice. Right.
Wow.
And it's just a beautiful word.
It is. It's a fantastic word. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's just jump straight in. Demystify this term urbanist for us.
Urbanist. Okay, so as it might give a hint, there's the word urban in there. Mm-hmm. So an urbanist is someone who is practicing in an urban context. So really an urbanist is someone who concerns themselves with cities, ultimately.
Okay.
So I think if you're doing city making, that's another way of thinking about it. We kind of made up the word. It exists. We didn't make it up, but we kind of adopted it and used it in this context of the work that we do. So we think of ourselves as urbanists.
Okay, so describe then the work that you do. What is it that you actually do? The fundamental stuff.
Sure. So cities are obviously big things. They're very complicated. They have many moving parts, and they're probably the biggest, most complicated things that us humans make. And at the same time, it's the place where we all come together. So an urban settlement is really a story about people. And I think we kind of lose that, and we think it's about roads and buildings, but it's actually about people. So our work, and as urbanists, is about understanding this relationship, and is about trying to make a city work for its people. And trying to make the urban living experience as positive as possible.
Love that.
So that we don't just survive and we thrive.
Klubi, I hear you. What speaks to you
I
here?
I love these kind of stories because we're always hearing about, you know, the reinvention or the rejuvenization of Newtown and Brahmis. What sets you apart? What makes you so different? Because you are in Jeppestown, correct?
Correct, yes.
What's the difference between, you know, what they're trying to do and what Yale is trying to do, is doing?
I'm not too concerned with what other people are doing.
Yeah. Spoken like a true entrepreneur.
but I think perhaps what is different and why we use words like urbanists and not developers, because we're not developers, and we're not particularly urban planners, and we're not architects, and we're actually all of these things into one. They're all necessary parts that go into something bigger. It's kind of like a symphony. There's many instruments, so you're not the bass. You might be more like the conductor. So I think what's different about us is that we take this urbanist view, and this urbanist view is very holistic. So our central focal point is a urban citizenship. So that means, as a citizen of a city, what is your experience like? And we address that. So we really think about our work and who our customers ultimately are citizens. And what are they going to need? And they're going to need a number of things. And I think the challenge is integrating all those things. So that might be housing. That's a big one. That's kind of a pillar of obviously, when you settle somewhere, you start with a house, and then everything kind of grows out of that. Where do you go to school? Where do you go to the doctor? What economic opportunities do you have? Where do you work? How do you get to work? Mm. Where do you spend your leisure time? Where do you meet with your friends, and so on and so forth? So I think where we're quite different is that our end product really is this kind of orchestration and integration between all the different variables that are necessary for positive urban living.
Now, this is all very interesting. Let's pull back and let's find out where this all began for you. So next to this title of urbanist, you have a title of entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about where that all began. What was the starting point?
So, JJ, just before you do answer that, I'd also like to set the backdrop of social entrepreneurship.
Okay.
So as Gareth mentioned, the start of Biala is going to be very interesting, but the context within which you guys operate is that of social entrepreneurship. So when you're answering the question, if you could just touch on the aspects of social entrepreneurship most relevant to Biala and how you interpret those.
Okay, so you asked me how I interpret social entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
I actually don't know. I don't know what a social entrepreneur really means. And why I say that is because I find it very difficult to create this division or this mutual exclusivity, the separation between creating value. Mm. So if you create value and it's at the detriment of anyone, I don't actually understand what you've created.
Mm.
So I think by default, we're all social entrepreneurs. I don't know the term. It's obviously been reserved for a specific group of people. But I think whether you identify with it or not, I think everything you do impacts someone. If you bottle, if you produce plastics, plastics don't go away. They go into the ocean. So you're probably not a very good social entrepreneur, but you're still socially affecting everyone. So I think everything we do is social. So that's why I don't understand the term very much. But in terms of how I could start to relate to it and perhaps how Biala and where it started, I think it started with this understanding or identifying that there needs to be more than just let's use some of the usual terms, profit in the financial sense. Mm. And the question of what is really profitable has been something on my mind for many years. And so using the example earlier, if you make a financial profit, is it truly a profit? I think in many cases one can see that you for the greatest value you need to address all the potential profits, both social and financial, and these tend to be the best solutions for society and allow us all to move forward as well. So I think that's where Biala started, is that my career, let's say in built environment, started in the context of addressing or being very focused on housing,
mm.
More specifically low-cost housing. And what I realized very, very quickly is that there's a living paradigm that is associated with low-cost housing.
Mm.
And we could build all the houses in the world for everyone, and you're not going to solve everything. The more houses, let's say low-cost houses, you roll out and say we met all the backlog, there would just be this kind of compounding issue of, well, where does everyone get educated, for example? And where did you put those houses? Because maybe you addressed the housing, but maybe people have to travel on dangerous roads to get there, mm. to and from work. So I think the both in the kind of social, you know, social entrepreneurship slant, mm. I think it's about understanding the true cost of things as opposed to the very immediate short-term profit of things.
So adopting a holistic view as opposed
precisely, to... Precisely. I think the motivation for Biala was that the world can be reimagined, and it can be reimagined not at the cost of your profits, social or financial. It doesn't mean that you're not going to make money if you make sense.
Well, there's a great tweet for you, Kloops. The world can be reimagined.
Love that. You got that?
That is really, really good.
You know what? Just speaking about social enterprise, mm. Umuzi.
Mm.
That's your inspirational. Tell us about that. What is that? Is that part of what you do?
No, we're just big fans of Umuzi. Okay. Umuzi is a fantastic organization. Mm-hmm. They provide, via a bursary program, they provide tertiary education to people who would not have had the means to access expensive, ultimately.
Absolutely. And we're big believers in education, aren't we, guys?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm still not sure where it all began for you. So just tell us a little about that journey.
All right. So how far back are we going?
As far back as is necessary.
Okay. So I think the idea of entrepreneurship in that you start something to create value and maybe run a little business and go with all the risks of it as well. I think that started very early for me.
Okay.
I haven't been anything else other than that. I've had a job, and even that job was very was employed once, and it was very entrepreneurial. And I've always spoken about it as an apprenticeship as opposed to an employment position. Mm-hmm. But it goes way back to just making, selling, borrowing, secondhand, whatever, getting involved, and kind of I didn't get pocket money, so I needed.
So JJ was that guy who used to rent his calculator before the maths exams.
Okay.
I used to sell good behavior to my parents, anything. It started really early, and that developed, I can't use the words more sophisticated, but it grew. And then in varsity, I started little businesses.
Awesome.
I ran those. I worked overseas and then realized that I was doing freelance work overseas, and then I didn't quite like it, so I started an eBay business, and that was really fascinating, this whole world of e-commerce. So I suppose the common thread in terms of where it all started was just kind of looking around me and being aware of what is valuable to people,
and the
ultimately,
needs of people.
And needs, and absolutely. Kind of trying to match and create scenarios that I could then participate in that.
So mm-hmm. identifying a niche, really.
I think a lot of it is a niche. Some pragmatic things or some good businesses, let's say, good business ideas, aren't particularly a niche. It might just be doing it better.
Mm.
So I think the many different flavors over the years. For me, have kind of shaped, have shaped that experience to where I am today.
Well, let's then draw a couple of lessons out of that the journey so far. What are some key points that you have learned about entrepreneurship, about following things that really speak to you, that you can share with our listeners?
Well, I think that on that very point, I think that the difficult thing about being an entrepreneur, i.e., someone who starts something and takes a risk, is that it's lonely.
Okay.
And one, I suppose one needs to trust oneself, and that's not easy. that's really difficult. Every entrepreneur, I would imagine, or I can't imagine them not relating to this, is
absolutely.
That there's going to be those dark pits, and you question yourself, and you don't know if you're doing it right, and things can get really scary, and you're faced with challenges, and mostly alone, especially when you're starting up. That's kind of the definition.
Let me jump in here. So we're not talking about a lonely, you're not surrounded by people. You're talking about an emotional,
absolutely.
Mental.
Yes.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is to do that loneliness is, I suppose, to share, you're not really sharing that journey. You can share that journey with people, but you have your own internal dialogue that has to go with kind of having a vision and then pursuing it. Because ultimately you need to trust it. You need to have confidence in yourself. And these things don't come from a manual. They don't come from someone kind of saying, this is the steps that you need to take. And of course you seek out help and mentorship, and these things all help. But ultimately you have to take the plunge.
Yeah, there's no absolute formula for success.
There's absolutely no formula. And so I think the lesson is the temptation to veer is around every corner, the temptation to lose one's track to one's vision, because you start and you get energized and you imagine and you have a vision and you connect with that vision, and then you start to get derailed.
Sure.
And then fear sets in, and I think the lesson is don't give up on that. Sounds cheesy, but you can't.
No, it is though. One of the true identifiers of a successful entrepreneur is grit, because when no one else believes in your vision, you're the one that has to. And it's so funny that we're actually talking about this now, because Klubi and I were actually chatting before the show about how you need to have grit and focus on your business concept and believe in it more than anyone else does. But I think that JJ's identified a really good point about the ill health of the entrepreneurial ecosystem in South Africa, particularly because entrepreneurs tend to operate within silos on their own. They need resources, like, for example, the Future CEO show, where you can realize that people are on the – yeah, Gareth's giving me a big thumbs up for giving his business a bit of a plug here. But it really does help, because you can identify with some of the lessons that people like JJ and some of our other guests have been through, and some of their experiences, some of the hurdles they've faced and overcome. So I think that this is such a valuable resource. It just in general, but particularly for entrepreneurs and would-be entrepreneurs.
Andrew, let me ask you a question about I can't say the name. I'm really, really bad with names.
Biala?
Okay, fine. I actually can say it.
Sure.
Thank you. Yeah. Let me ask you something about Biala then. Where do they make money? So I looked at the websites. I looked at the information that was there, and I thought, oh, this is really, really nice. Okay. Where do you make money?
So that's actually, I mean, I know JJ is very hesitant to take the tag of social entrepreneur, but that's actually one of the questions that I really wanted to pose to JJ, because of the fact that you're a social entrepreneur, you basically have dual successful businesses that you have to run.
What would be that definition for you, Andrew?
So for me personally, a social entrepreneur is someone who focuses on what I believe to be the future of charitable aid, because the charitable aid market or the industry is completely fraught with so many inefficiencies, and most of the aid actually never gets down to the intended recipients. So what JJ and people like JJ are doing is they're taking a capitalist, because we exist in a capitalist environment, they're taking a capitalist approach, at least this is my understanding anyway, JJ, I'm sure you'll jump in and, and correct me.
Correct.
But they're taking a capitalist idea and turning it into a social benefit. So you've got dual bottom lines. On the one side, you've got the conventional financial accounting profit and loss scenario, and on the other side, you've got what am I actually doing to the environment within which I exist. So JJ mentioned the organic aspects of cities, and two of the projects that they're running both have significant value adds to the city in general. So Streetlight Schools,
and
I know JJ is going to touch on that now, but Streetlight Schools and Sky Farms are both phenomenal concepts that they've run on. So JJ, if you just want to touch on Streetlight Schools and Sky Farms, and if it is applicable, because I'm not actually 100% sure how the revenue model fits in within an environment like Biala, but if you want to just touch on that as well, man.
Sure. Okay, so Streetlight Schools, they're awesome.
I'm sure they are.
So what is a Streetlight School?
So Streetlight Schools was founded by Milani Smuts, a friend and a colleague of mine. And it came about one day sitting around, and as I said earlier, is that as an urbanist, I'm not thinking about just a house. I'm kind of thinking about this whole story of living in a city, and the biggest story that has come to the surface time and time and time and time again is education, and finding ourselves where we find ourselves in South African education is quite a scary prospect. And so I don't think you can seriously call yourself a city maker or seriously begin to contribute or reshape the future or have any chance of it if you're not addressing education. So
correct.
How could we call ourselves low-cost housing participants or practitioners without having some kind of schooling component. Milani expressed that one of her dreams was to run a school because she felt that there was a better way to do it, the use of technology, innovation, etc. And these kind of principles and philosophies I really resonated with, because I think you need to, as I said earlier, reimagine everything, reimagine education, reimagine housing, reimagine cities, reimagine it all. Why not? We can. And so that's how Streetlight came. And I said, well, we can give you space. And when I sat down with her, I realized one of the biggest hurdles to schooling is space. And that's the thing that we're really good at. So we understand space and we can kind of give space to education. So it was that commitment of giving space that gave the foundational beginnings for then something that could carry on. And that's really where Streetlight kind of came into the picture.
Sky Farms.
So, Sky Farms is farming in the sky.
I saw some really good pictures of that. It wasn't quite in the sky.
It's up on top of buildings. And there's nothing, you know, truly kind of new about this idea. But, I think again, just having worked a lot in the city, being on a lot of rooftops, I realized that rooftops just kind of sit there. And they don't do anything, they don't contribute, and they're the space, and they're a very interesting space for farming. Mm. Mm. They sit above a particular altitude, which is great for farming because of the temperature inversion there, and all these other kinds of things. But more importantly, I thought it was an opportunity to inspire people to say, if I live in a city, I'm kind of disconnected and divorced from nature and where food comes from, and then again, education is a massive issue, and then I look at nutrition, and you know, like, knickknacks is not nutritional, and yet our youth are growing in the cities are growing up on Coke and knickknacks, and it's an attempt to disrupt that. It's an attempt to disrupt those things, and the way that you're going to do that is by inspiring people, and we could, so we did, and that's fantastic, and it actually ties into Streetlight. It's part of their extra, it's their curriculum. One of their classes is out and, you know, on a rooftop farming,
organic,
learning
organic,
about plants,
it.
Watching their plants, learning about the process. And that's our agenda. And we're finding very interesting partners to kind of scale up the whole operation and start giving people space to connect with something that's actually quite human, which is their food source plus the process of it.
Well, thank you for sharing. Can you believe we've run out of time?
It's always the case.
Unbelievable. Andrew, just a final thought from you. Flubi, we'll go to you, then we'll end off with JJ.
Sure.
Yeah, Gareth. So firstly, JJ, thank you very much for coming onto the show. And thank you very much for providing your insights into social entrepreneurship and not social entrepreneurship. And thank you for the great work that you guys are doing at Biala. I think that the entrepreneurial ecosystem in South Africa needs more people like you focused on goals other than just the financial aspects of it. So yeah, check out biala.co.za. That's their website. They're doing amazing things in Joburg CBD and treating the city we love so well. Very well.
Apparently a third of our world's population lives in slum conditions, and I think you being South African are changing that day by day. Big ups to Biala.
Thank you so much
for being here, and we really have high hopes for you. I mean, you are the future, so thank you.